Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. We'll pray the chaplet of divine mercy. I really want to offer my chaplet up today for our president, for so many of those in leadership in our country who are causing a lot of pain and suffering and advancing a culture of death. And I'm just going to ask God, through the promises he's given to the chaplet, just to be merciful and to bring about conversion and healing and protection over our country. I want to pray for you and all of your needs. We'll do that together. And I want to pray, of course, for my colleague, Matt. I was just talking with him and Maggie. And we'll bring that back up again on the third decade, too. But for those trying to sell their homes, we want to pray for that. And for Sean O'Mara, all those who contribute here, I want to pray for all the donors of Relevant. In fact, just a quick programming note before we start. This Friday, Jennifer Lee, one of my colleagues here, she's kind of in charge of the mass schedule. Four times a year, I have a mass offered for you. Four times a year. I don't know if you know this. I would love to have a mass offered for me. I'm in this group, too, because I'm a Divine Mercy intercessor. But four times a year, I have masses offered at the Chapel of the Nativity in Green Bay. For anybody who prays the chapel with me, anybody who's become a Divine Mercy intercessor. And what's a Divine Mercy intercessor? You probably haven't heard me talk about it a lot. A couple years ago, I just thought it would be so great. You know, the fruit of this chapel is so off the charts, right? It's just crazy how many miracles and answer prayers we get. It's astounding to me how God is working through this chapel, how blessed I have been because I promoted mercy. I see his mercy in my life so vividly. And I know you do too. And I invited people to say, hey, why don't you sign up and just make a commitment to prayer? You can go to relevantradio.com. I do a search for Divine Mercy Intercessor, and I'm sure it'll come up. And just put your name in, you know, and just say, I'm going to commit to prayer, you know, every day. And it could be something simple as when you pray the chaplet here, you pray for everyone else. But the focus of this was outside of this time we gather, maybe it's the morning when you go to Mass, maybe it's when you take a walk and you're praying with the Lord, maybe it's when you pray your rosary, maybe it's when you're in adoration, that you would remember our spiritual family here. You know, I'm always praying for you. Every Mass, every chaplet, every rosary I pray, every time I'm with the Lord, you are always in my prayers. I mean, it's like praying for my kids. You're right there. You know, you're right there. And I just thought, wouldn't it be great if around the clock, people waking up in the middle of the night saying their prayers, they would pray for our chaplet family? Can you imagine the power of that? Can you imagine the miracles that would take place, the amplification of our prayer when you have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people praying? Can you imagine that throughout the day for that job you're looking for that marriage you're worried about, for that financial problem, for that new opportunity you're seeking, knowing that somebody's praying for you and that God's hearing those prayers, he's merciful? I just think it's off the charts. So if you want to sign up, be part of that family, make a commitment, you will be remembered at least four times a year. We ask everyone who's a Divine Mercy intercessor just to pray for the family. And then Mass is offered, and this Friday Mass at noon Central will be offered for you, okay? So know that this, if you have a special intention, ask God to really honor the sacrifice of that Mass, and we'll see some great things happening. I want to, of course, we'll take your calls today. You can get in. I think there's one or two lines open at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I share a couple quick emails. This person, several months ago, I emailed a request for my niece. She had COVID when she was pregnant, diagnosed with diabetes. The rest of her pregnancy was concerning. I just want to let you know she had a healthy baby. And I want to thank you for your prayers and all the prayers of the chaplet family. Another person, I want to let you know, because of Relevant Radio and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, I am free of 45 years of childhood suffering, depression, sexual addiction, suicide attempts, and PTSD. I never had hope, I never had love, until I started listening to Relevant Radio. Your calming voice during the Chapel of Divine Mercy and the love for your listeners have contributed to the elimination of these problems. For the first time in my life, I am experiencing hope and love. I want to personally thank you and to all who pray with you every day. You have all changed my life. And I just love that. I talk about us being a family, right? Your prayers, this exchange, the mercy of God, impacting souls in just absolutely, absolutely profound ways. So I'm grateful for that email. I'll keep his name anonymous. One or two quick intentions. This person writes, could you pray for my son? He's got lots of anger, involved in drugs and gangs. Also, I need prayers for a job and a new place to live. This person wrote to me, too. I got to keep his name anonymous. He asked me not to say anything. He says, Drew, I'm coming up on my 40 years of marriage to my wife, and my wife decided to travel and went to see some other man. I approached God for his assistance and how I can handle it. And he says, my prayer was answered. He says, but within 1 to 2 weeks, the other man she was seeing was found dead from a heart attack. I mean, it's a weird email, right? And he feels somewhat, I think, maybe guilty over this. He says, it ended the chapter that we were, you know, that we were facing. We're both now doing well. I want to pray for him and his marriage, and I promised I would. I can't imagine the pain of a spouse cheating on another spouse, especially after decades of being together, to do something like that. So I want to pray for anyone with a troubled marriage right now, anyone whose marriages are cold or tepid, anyone who's seeking a spouse. Pray for the future spouses of my own children and for my own marriage, and I want to pray for you. My colleague today prays with me. It's always good to have Preston with me. Preston, good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anything you want to pray for?
Yeah, I've just seen a lot of news about how all these states having abortion bans, you know, 100-year-old laws that are now being questioned and brought, of course, to courts. And so I just want to pray for all the judges that have to, you know, review these cases, and that they'll just honor the Dobbs decision and choose what's right for life.
Amen. Beautiful prayer. Let's pray. We'll pray right now for that and for all the intentions I know you must have, too, with your family. So, Lord, we just give you our hearts. We turn to you now with faith and trust. And we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today from Jim, praying with us in Roseville, California. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Drew. In late April, I called in with a prayer request that our house get sold. And good news, we received an offer that we accepted, and it's scheduled to close later today.
Oh, praise God. It's awesome. Yeah. I had a colleague just off air saying, could you pray for me? I've got my house up right now, and it really needs to sell. So remember him. His name's Matt, if you do that. I know he'd be grateful. But thank you for sharing that. What can we pray for you today?
That's it, Drew. I was just calling in with a thanks to you and your listeners for all the prayers.
Well, Jim, thank you. I mean, I love that. I want to pray for you, though. I want to pray for your needs, for your intentions, whatever they may be. But I love the fact that Jim acknowledges God and how he does answer prayers. I mean, selling a home can be difficult. I mean, markets change, prices change, you need the right buyer. And Lord, I'm so grateful you heard our prayers. So I give you thanks on behalf of Jim. I give you thanks for all the answered prayers that continue to come in through the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I give you thanks for those answers that await us in the not-too-distant future. Give us the faith. Give us the trust, the hope to persist in our prayer and allow us to see the tangible results of those prayers. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Pensacola, Florida next. Bob is praying with us there. Hi, Bob.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Well, last week I asked for a prayer request for my wife, Lois, and you actually wrote it down, asked me how to spell the name.
I remember you.
Said you and your wife would pray for her.
Yeah.
And she's in a nursing home, and she has dementia, stopped eating, but then she developed COVID, and it looked really, really bad, and I prayed for a miraculous healing, if it be God's will. Well,
yeah.
God's will was that she suffered enough, and he wanted to take her home. Well, yesterday, I got there at 7:30 in the morning. I held her hand all day. She was breathing very heavy. But when we prayed the divine mercy at 3 o'clock with you, of course, she could just listen. She couldn't even speak anymore. We prayed the divine mercy, and towards the very end, she expired.
Oh.
So to me, that was a miracle. Like God put me
wow.
there, holding her hand, praying the divine mercy at
oh,
the time of her death.
Bob, my heart goes out to you, brother. I am so sorry for your loss. But what a beautiful final moment you had with your wife. I mean, you will be reunited with her one day. You know that. And God promised.
I know that.
He promised that he's going to come as a merciful Savior, not as a just judge. And you know the power of that prayer. Look, I'm sorry for your loss. I truly am. But I'm so grateful for your call today. I really am. It just re-echoes to me how important this prayer is. The Lord told St. Faustina, he says, pray as much as you can for the dying. You know, pray for them, because your prayers, it not only will obtain trust in my mercy, because that's when they need it the most and they have it the least, but be assured, and here's the comforting message, part of this message, be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in their final moment depends on that prayer. I know that God gave this woman a superabundance of grace. He blessed Bob in his faithfulness. They shared this last moment together where the Lord came as a merciful Savior. Because he says, when you pray this in the presence of the dying, I stand between my Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. So Christ came and embraced Bob's wife. I want to pray for Bob, who is now mourning a deep loss, the loss of a spouse. I want to pray for those who've gone before us, for Lois, and for all those now perhaps in purgatory. And I ask, Father, by virtue of this prayer, that many souls be released into paradise today. And I also pray for those approaching the hour of death, Lord, that they may choose you. So, Lord, we give you thanks for this prayer, for your promises, and for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And Bob, I'm just thinking also of what our Lord said to Faustina. I think it was early in her diary, like 200 sections. You know, when you pray the chaplet, if you have somebody you know, maybe you're in hospice care, maybe there's somebody in the hospital, maybe you're just praying this prayer, we should always remember those God's calling home. But this is such a comforting message. My producer Tom was praying this as his daughter passed, and I know that Bob was praying the chaplet as his wife passed. The Lord told her, he says, when you pray this prayer by the bedside of a dying person or remotely, he says, God's anger is placated. An unfathomable mercy envelops the soul, and the very depths of his tender mercy are moved for the sake of his sorrowful passion. We are so blessed to have this prayer, and I'm so grateful. I hope you'll pray for me on the hour of my death. If you ever hear I'm critical, please pray for me. Hey, before I go to the third decade, let me bring Maggie in here. Maggie monitors all the intentions that come in through Twitter. You can leave your intention or your message for us at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. You can also follow me personally at Drew Mariani if you want to do that. But Maggie, what can we pray for today?
Drew, I want to lift up Matt Beardsley that his home in Green Bay would sell. I also want to lift up continued prayers for my mom for pain relief. And Bobby wrote to us earlier on Twitter. He said, please today during the chaplet, pray for an off-duty Chicago police officer who is now paralyzed from the abdomen down after trying to break up a Beverly bar fight that spilled into the street and ended in two men firing more than 20 shots into the crowd. He said, please pray for this young man and his family. And I would also like to add, let's pray for the shooters that they might repent and come to know God's mercy. Jean wrote to us and said, prayers for my daughter who lost her first baby last August due to placental abruption during birth. Wow. She was diagnosed with PCOS. May her body be healed of this condition and her left ovary be restored if it's God's will. And she said, please, let's pray for all women struggling to have children.
Amen.
Kay wrote to us and said, I ask for continued prayers for my family's conversion and for the mending of a broken relationship between my son, Brandon, and his girlfriend, if it be God's will. And he said, also would like to lift up anyone today who is suffering. Louise is asking for prayers for her elderly mother who is sick with COVID for the first time. And Karen is asking for prayers for her mom on her 85th birthday and that her health may improve.
All right, let's lift up all those intentions, especially infertility. I do. So many people struggle with that today, especially for PCOS, too. I give you all the intentions Maggie voiced and all those that we didn't bring to air. Steve is praying with us in Castro Valley, California. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Drew. God bless you for taking my call. Drew, we talked about a year ago in Thanksgiving for the amazing experience me and my wife had at the Walk to Mary. And today I'm calling you in prayers. My wife's family's from Columbia. We just got back last week. We live in the Bay Area. And we were back one day, and I flew her back because her dad, he's 104.
Wow.
And he's been pushing it, man. And he wasn't doing so well when we left. And I flew my wife back Saturday. She made it by 12 hours. He passed away midnight Saturday night.
Wow.
And they just had the funeral today, this afternoon. And his name is Jesus. He's a great family man. He's a great father. And he is a prayer warrior himself. He did rosaries all day, every day. And I just want to pray for his soul.
Well, I'll be more than glad to do that. A century plus four. Wow, 104 years old. That's crazy. That's awesome.
He just kept going, Drew. He just kept going.
Praise God.
He was Superman to me.
Praise God. Well, it's so beautiful to hear that, you know, a son-in-law with such love for his father-in-law. That's awesome. Steve, I want to pray for you. Let's pray for your wife. Let's pray for her family. Let's pray for his soul. Let's pray for all those that mourn. And Heavenly Father, just thank you for Steve. I thank you for your mercy. I know that life is a test. It's a journey. One day we'll all stand before you, and I just pray we pass this test known as life and that we can be united perfectly without the bondages, the weight of this earthly life, and that we can be perfectly united with you and those that we love. And I just I ask for those graces for all of us as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mike's praying in Caneville, Illinois. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you. God bless you for your ministry. I have two coworkers, Raquel, a registered nurse, who's having a tumor removed from her cervical spine, and a respiratory therapist, his name is Juan, and he's got stage 4 kidney cancer. He's not doing well. And another one patient on a heart transplant list with a young family. And thank you for everything.
Well, God bless you, Michael. Thank you for those beautiful prayers. I want to pray for all your personal needs, too. I know you voiced a lot of intentions for others. I want to pray in particular for Mike's coworkers, those especially having the tumor removed. And Lord, I actually hear this man's prayers. Just as you heard the prayers of those men who climbed on the roof and lowered the lame man down before you and went out of their way to make sure your healing touch can reach him. So I ask the same thing for Mike's friends, that you honor his efforts and you hear his prayers. And I pray for all those who are sick, all those facing surgery, all those who are trying to come to terms with the ailment that is now threatening their health. I want to pray for those in recovery. I give you our body, all of its breakdowns, aches and pains, Lord. And I ask for rejuvenation, healing, and health. Health is wealth, Lord. I just ask that for that blessing for those seeking it now. And we just thank you. Thank you for the crosses. Give us the fortitude to carry them as well as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, I'll see if I can grab a call or two or three maybe here. Gloria is listening in Chicago and praying with us there. Hi, Gloria.
Hi, how are you? Yes, I would like to, I'm calling because of my niece. That she tried to do suicidal, and she's been in the hospital. And they're talking about, if I'm not sure if she's going to make it or she's having issues with her liver. She's 13 years old.
Oh, no.
And we just found out about this yesterday, and my 13-year-old daughter, it was very hard on her, and she also was having suicidal thoughts, my 13-year-old daughter.
I'm sorry.
And I would like the Mary, Father, please protect her. And also, this friend of ours, Lucila, she ended up in the hospital, and she had cancer, and she's been fighting cancer, and also she's having issues with her liver. And myself also, with my liver, and also with the transplants that I had, my heart transplant, it has been bringing me these other ailments and stuff like that, and I would like to, for the best,
Gloria,
the Lord.
You've been going through a lot. You've both from your own personal struggles and crosses to the suicidal ideations of your niece and even your daughter. And Lord, right now I pray for any child 13 years of age. I can't even imagine a 13-year-old thinking about terminating their life, ending their life. And I just pray for all those battling depression, anxiety, who have no hope, who are overcome by their circumstances that are emotionally or psychologically in a warfare, Lord, right now with themselves and the world around them. And I just ask you, reach deep to wherever those wounds are and heal, to restore, to give purpose and vision. And I just pray for anyone right now who's contemplating hurting themselves or taking their life, you hold back their hand. And I do ask for your mercy on those mothers, those fathers, those siblings, those children who have lost loved ones through suicide, that you reach deep and you heal those wounds too, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. I give you everything Gloria has just voiced. And I just ask for healing and for answered prayers. I'll sneak one last call in here to San Bruno, California. Elizabeth, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I'm asking my intercession for a friend, Cindy, who is eminently dying. She's refusing medical attention, okay. Not because of her medical problems, but because of fear and anxiety. They're overwhelming her. And her roommate, Bill, is unable. He also has multiple medical problems, but he's unable to move her past her anxieties. And I just want to lift her up and ask the nation's intercession for her to overcome these problems.
Well, thank you for calling, Elizabeth. We're going to lift her up right now. I'll pray for you, too, for whatever your needs are. Lord, hear the prayers of Elizabeth. But she's interceding for her friend who is now dying. And Lord, I pray against this spirit of fear, this spirit of anxiety that is crippling. I've often said, and I know Scripture points out that, you know, the anxiety won't add a cubit to your life, right? Won't add a day, won't add a moment. But trust and faith will. And so often in these final moments, Satan loves to rob us of those. Lord, vanquish these dark spirits. Allow the rays of your mercy to illuminate the darkness of her mind and her heart and to give her hope. I bring to you now everyone who's on hold with me. I give to you everyone who is writing to me. I give you everyone who's united with me in prayer wherever they may be. And Heavenly Father, by the passion and death of your Son, I beg that you hear these prayers, so you allow miracles and healings and new beginnings and blessings to flow. I thank you for your mercy as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Henry,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for your prayers. Stay with me when we come back. I'll talk about a dark reality that awaits some souls. Don't go away.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
At Lourdes, she said to Bernadette, that people must do penance. We could hear Bernadette gasping from the grotto, penance, penance, penance. At Fatima, we remember the famous warning where the Blessed Virgin Mary shows to the children of Fatima a vision of hell and says that there's nobody to pray and to do penance, and so many souls are lost. She told Sister Lucia that it was the will of Jesus that devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary be established, and that through this devotion, many souls will be saved, and that those people who embrace this devotion will have the grace of salvation. We too will be saved. We have to think about the power of the heart. The heart represents the person. Mary's heart is pure. It's undefiled. It's pierced with thorns. She said that her heart is pierced with thorns because of the ingratitude of men.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's it's a powerful message. Today is July 13th. It was on this day back in 1917 that Our Lady appeared and gave the seers a horrific vision of hell. And some people don't believe in hell today. I'll tell you straight, we'll be talking about it in the hour ahead. We'll be talking about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. But hell exists. It's in at least 17 books of the Bible. And I remember Monsignor Pope, who's a frequent visitor here to the show, he told me one time that 21 of the 38 parables are about judgment and hell. 21 of the 38. So it's serious stuff. And Our Lady came, and I was always struck by what she said in Fatima. You know, Our Lady said that war is a punishment for sin. And I think of how sinful we are as a nation today. I think of how close the world is teetering on a much larger global conflict, and how important the solution that the Virgin gave us in Fatima is, that need to sacrifice, to do penance, above all to pray the rosary. That was really one of the great messages of Fatima. It was on July 13th that Our Lady came, and she said to the seer, she said, sacrifice yourself for sinners. Say many times when you make your sacrifice, this prayer, O Jesus, this is for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Remember that. Memorize that prayer. Maybe I'll send it over to Maggie, and we'll put it on Twitter, and you can repeat that. Oh, Jesus, this is for love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Offer that to God with your sacrifice. Whatever it is, the arthritis you're going through, the migraines, the financial difficulties, the back pain, the surgery, the cancer, the relationship problem, you know, the financial problems. We all have opportunities to sacrifice. We can offer all of these struggles of life in reparation for our sins and for the conversion of the world. And we need to do that, because on July 13th, the Virgin opened her hands before the children, and rays of light streamed from them, and they seemed to penetrate the earth. And the children, they recorded the vision that they saw. They said they saw a great sea of fire, and submerged in the fire were demons. There were also souls. They were in human shapes who resembled the kids at red hot black and bronze colored embers that just floated about in this blaze. They were borne by the flames that issued from within the clouds of smoke, and they said that these embers they were falling everywhere, like showering sparks of a great blaze. And amidst the shrieks and the groans and the sorrow and the despair, they said it horrified us. It made the children shudder with fear. I mean, again, remember these kids, 10 years old, right? In that age, give or take a year or two, depending on seer you're talking about. To have a vision of the reality of hell. And the kids said the devil stood out like a frightful unknown animal with horrible and disgusting shapes. But they were transparent, like black coals that had become red hot. And the vision only lasted for a moment. And during the people who were present said that Lucia de Santos, the oldest of the seers, she let out a gasp. And they said if it was not for Our Lady's promise to take them to heaven, they would have died. They would have died of terror. But Our Lady said this in the end, I mean, frightened and pleading. And, you know, Our Lady said, you saw where the hell of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And if what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved, and there will be peace. There will be peace. I'm joined today by noted Mariologist Dr. Mark Miravalli. It is always a delight to have him here with us today. We've talked about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart many times. And Doctor, I want to welcome you first and foremost back to the program. And I also want to acknowledge your new title. You have two of those. Fill everyone in before we talk about this, if you would be so kind.
Well, yeah, thank you, Drew. I think I should be asking you the questions. I mean, you were doing such a wonderful job on Fatima, but just to stay to the format, by God's grace, I have the chair of Mariology up at Franciscan University of Steubenville, which is called the St. John Paul II Chair. And then, again, by God's grace, recently have been given the Schifflin Blum Chair of Mariology at Ave Maria University.
Wow. So that's awesome.
I'm very grateful for those. And I love teaching at both places because the students are fantastic. They're just great kids. And so it's worth a fly up once a week between the two universities. So it's a joy to teach. And I tell you, the more you're exposed to these young people, the more you understand the future of the church and that what Jesus said to Peter is true. The jaws of death, gate of hell, is never going to come across our church. I mean, and you see it in these wonderful kids and their faith, their orthodoxy, their love of the church. It's a privilege to do it.
Well, I love it. Congratulations on those two titles. We're lucky to have you here every afternoon, and you're able to stop by and share your expertise with us. Again, that's the St. John Paul II Chair of Mariology at Franciscan and the Constance Schifflin Blum Chair of Mariology at Ave Maria University. And Doctor, let's tap into that expertise of yours and your genius. Today is a beautiful day. I often reflect on something that I don't often ponder, and that's the reality of hell. The children have seen this. I was doing a little research today, and I was reading through the lives of saints and their encounters with hell, and it's stunning how many of them talked about how many souls go there. And Our Lady says it's because no one... souls aren't sacrificing for these souls. I mean, we need to sacrifice and pray for their conversion. She said, Our Lady, in the very end, though, she promised that in the end, her Immaculate Heart would triumph. Let's talk about that, if we could, as well. I'd love your perspective on the reality of hell and also why Our Lady is so important at this time for that and why the triumph is, I think, close at hand.
Sure, Drew, and this is why you can make a very good case that the message you're referring to, the message that was given 105 years ago today, is the single most important message of the entire Age of Mary. That's a rather bold statement, but I think it's completely true because every apparition that leads up to Fatima, including Miraculous Middle and Lourdes and La Salette, is getting us prepared for this message of the Immaculate Heart and its triumph. Every authentic message since Fatima, Drew, specifically mentions that it's seeking the fulfillment of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so there's good stead for saying that. And as you wonderfully unpacked so far, you know, you've got a couple pillars in this message. The first is actually where she says, pray the rosary every day to bring peace to the world. And then she says, Drew, it's a fascinating line, because only she can help you. Now, what does that mean? Why would Our Lady say only she can help you? Why will she repeat almost the same verbatim phrase in Akita, Japan on October 13th, 1973, which is the anniversary of the Solar Miracle? Because this is a task that the Trinity has given to her. And that's why it's the Mother's Peace Plan. She's doing this in obedience to the Trinity. And that's why when she introduces that, she says, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. So when people will sometimes say roughly, well, you know, Mary doesn't want new titles or Mary doesn't want attention. Well, that's true. She wants to obey still the perfect will of God. And that means coming to Fatima and other places she's come to bring forward this peace plan. So, you know, this first is this call to pray the rosary every day. We just can't, we can't get tired of it, Drew. We can't, St. Paul says, never grow weary of doing what is right. So we can be tempted, yeah, I've been praying the rosary. I don't see any improvement in my marriage, any improvement in my family. I don't see improvement in the world. We pray the rosary because Our Lady keeps her promises. And when she says, she will bring about peace both in families and society and the world. It's because she will. So we have to, first of all, persevere in praying the rosary. Secondly, you will point out that that beautiful reference where Jesus says, when you make a sacrifice, offer it for love of Jesus, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Drew, that's so important. You know, Padre Pio reminds us the greatest human loss is a suffering not offered. Now, that's also very powerful because yep. I would say any of us, you know, say, what's your three major crosses right now? It wouldn't take more than a minute for all of us to come up with our three major crosses. So the issue is not we don't know what our crosses are or we don't have them. It's what are we doing with them? Yep. That's the message of Fatima. Let's unite our sufferings. And you do well to talk about things like arthritis, finances, these other elements. Every little offering should be united to Jesus and Mary for souls. That's what Christian co-redemption is. Yeah. So it was beautiful that you pointed that out in the message because it's a real foundation.
Well, I'll tell you what, Doc, hold the thought if you could, okay?
Yep.
Just hold the thought. I have to take a short little pause here. When we come back, if you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149, talking with Dr. Mark Miravalli about the very famous Fatima message where the children saw the fires of hell and Our Lady's revelation about the triumph of her Immaculate Heart, answering some mysterious questions. Of course, you're welcome to join us. 888-914-9149. Our conversation will continue with more right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio, your life connected.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's good to have you here. Love to take your calls if you want to join us. The number here is 888-914-9149. We'll go to the phones in a minute. If you're just tuning in, today, July the 13th, harkens back to a very famous apparition in 1917 of Our Lady of Fatima, in which she showed these young children the horrifying reality that waits all of us who reject God. And I pray to God that in my last breath, I am enveloped by God's mercy and that by the conduct of my life, by the choices, I will encounter his loving embrace. And I pray that for you too. Hell exists. It is real. Christ spoke about it. Saints have encountered it. Mystics have glimpsed it. St. Faustina had profound experiences with it. And today, Dr. Miravalli is here to give us some perspective on it, as well as really the prophetic message of this vision as well. Doctor, let's pick it up on hell. Let's talk about the reality of it. Why would a good and loving God even create a place like this? Why is it eternal? Why is it lifelong? And what do you make of the vision that the kids saw? How close to reality do you think that is?
Yeah, well, Drew, I think you had a very good take on it earlier in our program. People don't believe in hell, and it's something you don't want to wait to believe in after you experience it, because then it's too late. So hell is a reality. That's why Our Lady scares, you know, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 7-year-old to shout out, because we need to know hell exists. But immediately chasing the revelation of hell, Our Lady says, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And we get a bunch of prophecies, which would take us, you know, 3 days to go through, but just very briefly, we have the prophecy of a conditional Second World War if we don't convert. And as you mentioned, that war is a punishment by God for sin. And that doesn't mean that God initiates the war. It means God pulls back his protection and he lets us have at each other. And that's hellish. And that's what war is. Talks about also that the Holy Father would have much to suffer. And one thing that has not yet happened yet, Drew, and that is various nations will be annihilated. Even after World War II, you had a changing of boundaries, but you didn't have the annihilation of nations. That's why this Fatima message is superlatively relevant to us now. Pope Benedict XVI said we could fulfill the worst of the Fatima message with things like nuclear arms. It ends with the promise. in the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. Russia will be consecrated to me, which both John Paul and now Pope Francis has done, and an era of peace will be granted to the world. And that's really the skeletal inspiration of the Fatima message.
Let's take a call or two for you, too. Dr. Sally is listening to us in New York City. Sally, good afternoon. You are on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. I'm new to the faith, and I never quite grasped what does offering up means. You mentioned, okay, we need to offer up these sacrifices, but unpack that for me. Break it down. Can you? Thank
sure.
you. I'll hang up and let Dr.
Okay, great. Sally, thanks for calling. Welcome to the faith. It's good to have you. So, Doctor, why don't you unpack that?
Yeah, it's actually a very good question that we take for granted. You know, when
we
were kids and we'd skin our knee, our mothers would say, well, offer that up, honey. But what does that mean? It means that when we unite our sufferings and endure it as patiently as we can to the hearts of Jesus and Mary, to Jesus the Redeemer, Mary the human co-redemptrix, then that grace is used to have a mysterious release of what Jesus and Mary merited, really, to a soul. And simply put, when we offer our sufferings, grace comes upon our family members, those who don't know the faith. And yes, Sally, congratulations. So great to have you in the faith. But for others who are not in the faith. So offering it up means we patiently endure our sufferings and we unite them to Jesus and Mary for the sake of other souls. And that's quintessentially the Catholic call, but it's also the Fatima call to offer our sufferings for the conversion of sinners.
Well, thank you, Sally. And look, we can all do that, Doctor. Large and small, we have different crosses, but boy, they're meritorious, especially when you're united to that of the Lord on the cross. The triumphing aspect of this, I mean, hell exists, it's real. The world is a rough place. As I said, Our Lady says that war is the byproduct of sin, really, and we need to make sacrifice and offer penance. In the end, the message of Fatima is it's a triumphal one. It's a hopeful one. She says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph and the world will experience a period of peace. Let's look down the road. Are we on the advent of that? Is that somewhere in the distant future? I mean, how do you see that and what is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart?
Yeah, well, let's start by defining our terms. I believe the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will be a historic release of grace that will allow the church to endure a time of intense purification. You notice that Our Lady, speaks about chastisements in all of her messages. You can't deny that. But the triumph of her Immaculate Heart will be a historic, a monumental release of grace that will see the church through this time of purification. You know, as Fulton Sheen said, the church has to go through its passion and death and resurrection just like Jesus did. But on the end, in the resurrection, we will have a period of peace. That's what the popes have called a new springtime for the church. And quite frankly, most Fatima leaders worldwide have agreed part of that is a proclamation of a dogma of Our Lady and her role as the spiritual mother of all people. That's the key to the triumph to release this. So the triumph of the Immaculate Heart is a release of grace that leads the church to endure patiently and fruitfully a time of purification, which will eventually lead to an era of peace. And I emphasize that, Drew, because, you don't want to say, a proclamation of a truth about Our Lady, this dogma on today and then tomorrow, it's peace. No, it's a process because it's dealing with us, right? And we take grace and have to respond to it appropriately. But the triumph is a historic grace that will lead the church to a period of peace.
Do you see that coming soon?
As soon is an interesting term, Drew. I think nobody knows. But take a peek at 2 Peter 3:8. It's not a verse often read, but it's basically because our first pope is saying, look, for God, 1,000 years are like a day and a day like 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. But then he says this fascinating line. He says, some think that, God is slow in keeping his promises, and I'm grossly paraphrasing, but in fact, he allows this to happen for the redemption of the most, if you will, as many as possible, so they can be redeemed. So the concept of it is Yeah, we may think, well, why hasn't it come already? And the answer is because God is patient, because he wants the conversion of as many as possible. That's why we're talking about a message 105 years ago today, Drew, because I think heaven is waiting for us to respond, but I think both in terms of purification and in terms of grace, we're talking about the not-too-distant future.
Well, Doctor, we have less than a minute to go. I want to make sure we pray the prayer to Our Lady of All Nations for protection over this country. And if you'd lead us in that, maybe let people know how they can also learn that prayer.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disasters, and war. May the Lady of All Nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen. And people can get that prayer. Go ahead, Drew.
No, you go ahead. You have about 30 seconds.
They can get the prayer just mary@motherofallpeoples.com. Send us an email. We'll send you as many prayer cards as you need.
Doctor, thank you. I wish we had more time to talk. I'm grateful for your time. Congratulations on your new chair. And remember us in your prayers. Stay with me. I'll be right back.